This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Mike Monagle here with you on The Fan, reacting to the Knicks losing Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and now are down 3-1 to Indiana and Tyrese Halliburton mainly. And, you know, they were talking about on the broadcast, Reggie Miller, you know, talking about how this, he had a prediction. And, you know, obviously Van Gundy was like, oh, you're a prophet. I'm going to take you to buy lottery tickets. All the nonsense they were talking. But Reggie Miller did talk about this was going to be, in his mind, a Brunson versus Halliburton kind of show. And let's be fair, because we could point to a lot of things. Someone just tweeted me, you know, Benedict Mathurin and his 20 points after really not having a very good series. Plays 12 minutes, scores 20 points. He's a minus two in the game, but 20 points. And had big plays. Got to the foul line 11 times. That's how he gets 20 points. He had 10 foul shots. You could point to Siakam and how impressive he's been in those wins. And he really is their half-court offense. But to me, Naismith and his ability to defend, he comes out and hits those first two threes. I think that, then he ends up going 0 for 4 the rest of the way from the three-point line, but he comes out and hits those first two threes, and you're like, oh, well, forget that ankle injury. And then he's by far the toughest defender. They were mentioning it all broadcast about him fighting through screens and guarding Brunson extremely well. There's a lot of things you can point to in this game. The turnover battle and how it was won by Indiana. Fast break points, all the things we brought up. Just overall effort. Tyrese Halliburton, as you just heard, had a triple-double with no turnovers. The first player in NBA postseason history to do that. He scores 32 points. He hits threes from, I mean, he goes 5 for 12 from three. Some of them are from so far out. I'm surprised he missed 12. He missed 7. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't remember 7 misses from him. The guy was unbelievable in this game. Yeah, he almost had he was an assist shy of a triple-double in the first half of this game. And if we're going to talk about Jalen Brunson, he's not immune from it. If you are going to be the captain of the team, if you are going to be the king of New York, if you are going to be Mr. Clutch, you have to be fair. He's been outplayed in this series. He scores 2 points in the fourth quarter. Halliburton has been the better player. Halliburton has had the bigger impact on the series. Halliburton dominated this game last night. And Jalen Brunson really struggled at times. And Reggie Miller was right. This was going to kind of come down to their star versus the Knicks star, and their star shined brighter. We have to own it now. Brunson has to come out and change that in game number 5 to give this Knicks team a chance to come back into this series. They're going to have to come back and try and make this a series. And it starts tomorrow night, and I'll tell you this right now, this has got to be, because I'll be totally honest with you, as we start the transition, we'll have, you know, tomorrow to do it as well. But as we start the transition into thinking about, you know, how they win game 5 and prolong the series, because really, before we even talk about whether or not the series is over or can they have a chance to win it, I'm not even going to have that conversation with you. I'll be totally honest with you, you can call me up, I'll have any conversation with you. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. But I'm not going to really, with any serious, like, bone in my body, really begin to tell you the ways they can come and win this series. There's no point in having that discussion with you. It's about game five, right? I hate to be cliche and give you the boomer one shift, you know, one period, one game at a time, but that's what it is for the Knicks right now. Come out, win the first quarter of game number five, and figure out how to win game number five and send it back to Indiana. And if we get there, we'll talk about game six. But in this game, it's going to be effort, sure, right? And it's going to be figuring things out, sure. It's going to be limiting the turnovers and playing smarter basketball, sure. It's going to come down to Bridges. I mean, Brunson. I always say that. It's going to come down to Jalen Brunson. It's going to come down to the Knicks superstar, Mr. Clutch, the team captain, and if he can get them over the hump, because he's their best player. And he's got to be their best player. And he's got to be the best player on the floor. And this is where legacies are built, because here's the one thing I can tell you right now. I don't know how we're going to feel about this team moving forward if they lose this series. I don't know how we're going to feel about getting to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in a quarter century. I don't know how we're going to feel about beating the Boston Celtics and then losing to an Indiana Pacers team. And then it depends, I suppose, what the Pacers go on to do in the NBA Finals and how well they play against what we assume will be Oklahoma City. Maybe we will have fond memories of the season, but it's going to be tough to look back at this season. It's going to be tough to look back at this series. It's going to be tough to look back at this team if they get embarrassed in Game 5 at home and go out meekly. This is now, forget winning the series, this is about pride. This is about who the Knicks are. It's about what kind of team they are. As Josh Hart was saying in the postgame, you know, we don't quit. This is not a team that quits. That's not who we are. That's what we've come to know from them, and that's what we've come to expect from them. And that's what the Boston series showed us, and that's what bouncing back from Games 3 in the Boston series and Game 5 in the Boston series and figuring out a way to win, that has shown us that that's what they do. Well, they better do it in game number five, because if they get beat in their own building and lose the gentleman's sweep and lose all three games played in this series at Madison Square Garden, it's going to be a tough time to feel that good about this team moving forward. As much as they did accomplishing the feat getting here, as much as they did beating the defending champs, as much as they've done as the first team in 25 years to get to this point, and maybe even as much confidence as we'll have moving forward into next year if they rebuild it and revamp it and, you know, get some better players in here to surround this starting five or whatever the case may be. The 2025 New York Knicks are not going to be remembered as fondly as we all would like to remember them if they get embarrassed at home and if they lose all three games played at Madison Square Garden in front of a fan base that has been starved for this, where it has been the place to be, the ticket on the secondary market through the roof. I'm sure tomorrow night is going to be a madhouse at Madison Square Garden. And if the Knicks come out flat, and if the Knicks get beat, and if the Knicks get sent home and watch the Pacers celebrate on their court, it's something that we're not going to forget, and it's something that's going to taint the memory of everything they were able to accomplish this year. 888-808-1019. Let's go to limo driver Ed. What's up, Ed?
Well, I know you don't want to talk about it, but the way they're playing and what they're doing, they're not going to win, and they're going to lose on this floor. That's it. It's no sugarcoating nothing. They don't want to talk about this and that. Yo, game five, yeah, we can talk about it, how they lose. Because the way they're playing, Halliburton is laughing at him. He did the choke sign. From that game, that first game, he did that. He was enemy number one.
Yeah.
He's laughing at you, and he put a choke sign up. Means that you're going to choke. And if they win, which they probably will, the way we're playing, mm-hmm. he's going to make the biggest choke sign on that floor, on the Knicks' home floor.
He'll do some. I don't know if he'll do the choke sign. Depends on how the game is playing.
No, yes, he will.
He did the choke sign because they blew a 17-point lead in the fourth
quarter. Yeah, but don't make a difference. He's going to say they blew this one. When everybody's talking about they should have won, he's going to do the sign. Watch him. I guarantee you he does it. Because Reggie's going to be sitting there, and I tell you right now is, listen, Yeah, you're right. They haven't played defense all year, so I don't know why anybody would think it's going to be different. Okay? That was the only day, that last game, that they played defense that was well. Okay? And what do you have to offer next year? You're going to have to get rid of some star players. You done gave everything up for Bridges, so you ain't got nothing to work with.
I agree with you. Not as far as another star player. I think this is Brunson, Cat, Bridges, OG Anunoby are the core of the team moving forward, no doubt. But you can, you know, sir, you can have a better bench than, you know, Cameron Payne and, you know, Landry Shamet. Like, you can build the roster around it.
Right, but if you got Tibbs ain't going to play nobody else, so why go get somebody when he ain't going to play?
I would think that if he had a better bench, he'd be more inclined to play it. That's part of it. Part of it is the bench isn't very good. They have two good bench players. Let's be totally honest. They have Deuce McBride and Mitchell Robinson. That's it. And if you want to put Mitchell Robinson as now the starter, they have two bench players in Josh Hart and Deuce McBride. That's it. They traded away the depth of this team with the OG Anunoby trade and with the Karl Anthony Towns trade. And the Karl Anthony Towns trade was made at the very end of the offseason, and they really didn't have an opportunity to revamp the rest of the roster. So, but my point overall is, the team can be better next year and not just play better. The team can, that too, I mean, they can gel, have another year of playing together. Like, they can just continue to progress, which they're going to have to, but they could also have a better roster. They could have more answers. They could have more shooters. They could have more defensive players. They could have more size. They could have more, they could have more quality on the bench. There's no doubt about it. They can. And we'll see if they're able to do that. But I'm not going there just yet. But again, and even if he does the choke sign, I don't care. To the victor goes the spoils. I'll care that they lose. I don't care what he does, really. Honestly, same thing. Same thing with anybody who comes in here and does this nonsense. I don't care. You think I care that Trae Young, you know, rolls dice as he beats them to go on to the mid-season games or whatever they call that stupid dopey tournament that I don't care about? I don't care about that. I care about him beating them. Think I care about what he did, or do I care about they lost that series to the Atlanta Hawks? I don't care. And he's not going to do the choke sign. He did the choke sign because they came from behind and they choked away a lead. That's not his celebration for everything. But yeah, maybe he'll do something. I have no idea. Maybe he'll put Reggie Miller on his shoulders and walk Reggie Miller all around the stadium, all around the building. I have no idea what he's going to do. But hopefully we don't find out. Because, again, this is now a big game, not even just to get back into the series, which clearly, you know, it's still a, like, if they win the game, it's a series. Like, this is what, like, I had a bunch of people yelling at me, it's not a series until they tie it. I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, someone's got to be down. They've played an odd number of games after game three. Someone had to be down 2-1. If the Knicks win game five, someone has to be down 3-2. It doesn't mean it's not a series. Just means that the Pacers have a large lead in the series. Right now, it's not a series up 3-1. Right now, it's the Pacers are going to win. The Knicks have to take game five, and then they make it a series with still Indiana in the driver's seat of that series. But they can't lose at home. That's the one thing this team can't do. We've fallen in love with this team. You know, last year's team we really fell in love with. But on this postseason run and the way they've battled back and the way they beat Boston, we have re-fallen in love with this group. We're frustrated by them. It was tough to watch them last night. It's been tough to watch this series. I was sick to my stomach after game one. But they have given us some moments here, and they've taken us to a place we haven't been in 25 years. I think even ultimately, if they lose the series, we will somewhat be able to look back in a month, 2 months, 3 months at the start of next year, be able to look back at this year somewhat fondly and say, hey, it's part of the ladder to winning and they needed to get to that Eastern Conference Finals and now they've improved and we'll see what they do this year. But If they get beat at home, if they get beat in their building all three times in the series, if they don't show up tomorrow night, we're going to have a tough time looking back and feeling really good about this team. Oakland in the Bronx. You know, some people have two first names. I don't know a lot of people that are from, that have like two places. Oakland in the Bronx. What's up, Oakland?
I'm from Oakland, born in D.C., grew up in Chicago. And that's why I'm going to say help you out. I love New York, and I love New Yorkers, but I'm going to give you an intervention.
Okay.
The reality is you've got a great, hardworking team with talent that can match up with anybody. The elephant in the room you're going to have to adjust if you want to be a top-tier organization is that your coach either needs help or you need to do like the Bulls did when they brought in Phil and other teams do when they bring in top-tier great coaches. Because he's coaching against great coaches like Rick Carlisle and them who either won rings or have the ability to compete and not. He's used to being the assistant, the great assistant that reacts to the matchups when he gets instructions from the coach. He is not the guy like the guy at the Warriors who even moved on Mark Jackson because they needed a chess master who could let his other generals win for him. First thing I know, and I'm going to say this to you, is a guy who grew up with five guys in the league, two Hall of Famer, and two All-Stars besides the Hall of Famer, Gary Payton in Oakland. This is New York. And you built this game. You got a hot point guard. You put a cooler on him. You put a big guy to beat his butt. You know that. I know that. That's the first rule. I don't care if the guy fails out. He gets a great contract next year. That's what you do. Secondly, you slow the game down. You got bigger guys than these guys. The only guy they got is a skinny senior. You put Mitchell Robinson and Cat in there, and you tell him, I don't care if you make the ball. I want to make sure these guys either are shooting free throws for offensive fouls or you bodying them up on rebounds. You're throwing it up there and letting Mitchell beat them up when they go down there because that slows the game down. You run them off screens. And then the guys who are shooting these shots are too tired to run or shoot open shots when they get them. This is basic basketball.
It's very easy. I know. And Tibbs doesn't know. And Tibbs doesn't know basic basketball. It's very easy.
No, he doesn't choose. The great coaches.
I know. You have all the answers, Oakland. And he's a buffoon. I mean, he's only been coaching in the league for forever. How come Minnesota can't stop SGA? What's the answer to that? What's the answer? You mentioned you're from Chicago and you're Bulls. Well, how come Jordan was allowed to be so great in the postseason? Halliburton had a great night. Stars have great nights. That's what you just. Oh, you throw a big body on him, and suddenly, Halliburton's not going to score. Halliburton's not going to take that big body off the dribble. Like, I mean, it's not as easy as you say. Oh, just do this. It's easy. It's basketball 101. Everyone knows this. Okay. Then why, like, you think he's choosing not to do it? You think everyone has the blueprint on how to stop the Pacers and Tibbs just ain't doing it? Come on, man. It's one thing to come out, call and give me opinions. I'll welcome them. You want to tell me they should do this, they should do that? That's fine. To make it seem like this is all very fundamental and very easy, and the moron of the head coach who has now taken this Knicks franchise to 51 wins and back-to-back 50-win seasons for the first time, you know, in 30 years, and has gotten them past the defending champion Boston Celtics and has them playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, is just choosing not to do the easy fundamental things that any winning coach would know. Like, that's where I have a problem. That's where I think you're being a little bit, I don't know, condescending, for lack of a better term. I'm not saying Tibbs has done a great job here. Tibbs could do things, and there is a legitimate question because of his history in Chicago, in Minnesota, and if he loses this series, I don't think he'll be fired. Someone just asked me on Twitter. No, I think Tibbs is coming back. He got them to the Eastern Conference Finals. They haven't been there in 25 years. I do not think he's going to get fired off of beating the defending champs. I really don't. No. He's coming back. But if they get to this same point next year, or, you know, if there is a valid question about how far this team can get with Tibbs. I think that's fair. But, I mean, we'll see. Phil Jackson, I'm not trying to knock him, and I think people who do dismiss what he brought is being silly, but he also had Michael Jordan, and then he had Shaq and Kobe. And then he wouldn't take another job because the Heat of those teams didn't have those guys. Steve Kerr has had one team. I mean, he's had one of the more revolutionary players who shaped the way the NBA is played in Steph Curry. He had Hall of Famers all around. You know, I mean, he had Klay Thompson. He's got one of the best defensive players in NBA history. Like, it's not like Steve Kerr went somewhere and just took a bunch of ragtag teams to the NBA championship. He was given great players. Great players win. Halliburton destroyed, and everyone, Kenny Atkinson. I thought Kenny Atkinson's a great coach. How come he couldn't stop him? How come Halliburton destroyed and dismantled the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were the best team in the league all year, and everybody tells me what a great coach Kenny Atkinson is, and yet he couldn't stop him? So I guess Kenny Atkinson didn't know how to slow him down. Kenny Atkinson didn't have, you know, a fundamental understanding of how to slow down this Pacers team. And just basic stuff that was right over the head of Kenny Atkinson, right over the head of Tom Thibodeau. Just, you know, two idiots running franchises that, you know, not good enough to go win championships. And yet, he coached circles around Mazzulla, who's got an NBA ring. Why? Because he had the best team. And his great players played great. You could do a better job of it than they did last night. But Halliburton was not going to be denied. He hit shots from all over the place. I mean, he hit shots from the logo. Like, he was pulling up and hitting shots from all over the place. He had an incredible game. He did. And the Knicks got to find a way to slow him down. But I'm welcome to calls about, hey, the Knicks should do this. Hey, I was surprised the Knicks didn't do that. You know what I think might work? This. But don't call me up and tell me, well, this is easy stuff and Tibbs is just missing it. Like, it's not. And he is.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees Radio, The Fan.
yeah. 329. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Talking a little bit of Knicks basketball. Obviously, after losing game number four last night, 130-121. And now the Knicks are desperate for a win. And typically when they're desperate, they show up. But they should have felt that desperation last night, and they did not. 888-808-1019. Series is now 3-1, heading back to Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. And we'll see how they respond. A little bit of baseball as well, if you want to call about the Yankees or Mets, we can a little bit. The Yankees hold a 3-0 lead off in the ninth as Devin Williams gives up two in the ninth, but Logan Ohapi does him a favor, swinging a 3-0 fastball up in the zone and pops it up. Carlos Rodon and really the entire pitching staff has been incredible for the Yankees. They are now, I saw this stat, they are now 7 games up in the division. The New York Yankees have not held a 7-game division, a 7-game lead in the division in May since 1998. 1998 is the last time the New York Yankees held a division lead of 7 or more in May. Now, a lot of that is how bad the division is. I don't think no one's being misguided to compare this team to the 98 team, but right now to have a 7-game lead in May, it hasn't been done since 1998, and it's the first time since 22 that they've had a division lead this big at all. So right now they are playing well. They've won 7 consecutive series. They'll take on the Angels tomorrow night, and I'll follow you after that game as well here on The Fan. The Mets take the first two from the White Sox. Pete Alonso hits a big home run. A little mishmash on the base paths. I've never heard that before. We were watching. If you're watching the game, Juan Soto with Nimmo on first base hits a line drive to right center field. The ball is clearly trapped. And even the first base umpire calls it trapped. I don't know if the other umpires did, but he calls it safe, you know, trapped, the ball bounced. Nimmo looks back after rounding second and believes it's caught and runs all the way back to first and runs, you know, past Juan Soto. So Juan Soto is out for running past the runner. And they reviewed it, and the umpire came out and used the names of the... He said, Juan Soto clearly passes Brandon. I was like, when do they start using the names before? But obviously, the Mets with another big-time performance as they take care of the White Sox. The Yankees take care of the Angels. We'll get into baseball a little bit more. Hopefully not after tomorrow night when the Knicks season is over. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning. How are you?
What defense? I mean, nobody was guarding Halliburton. I mean, come on. Yeah, you have to put somebody in his face, at least make you contest each shot. And they weren't doing that. I don't know. It's like you feel downtrodden after this game, and hopefully you can come back and winning.
Yeah, look,
if they lose 3 games in the Garden, then what?
It's an embarrassing loss. It's an embarrassing series loss.
Do we consider Thibodeau?
No.
No, we can't consider him because he got his...
I mean, we can't. I mean, we can consider it. Me and you can consider anything. I don't think they would fire a coach who got them to their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years and beat the Boston Celtics, who nobody thought they could beat on the way to getting there. Like, I don't think that they would fire him off of this year. I really don't. Now, again, next year, now you have to move to the next round. But it's the first time this franchise has seen the Eastern Conference Finals since 2000. They beat the defending champs, who they literally built the team to beat. They went out and got Mikal Bridges, like, specifically to help beat the Boston Celtics and guard the perimeter. Like, this team was built to beat the Boston Celtics. Nobody thought they could. They played miserable against them all year. And then they were able to do it. I can't imagine them getting rid of Tibbs off of that. I just can't. And I don't think he deserves it. I don't think he deserves to be fired. I really don't. I was questioning it in the Detroit series. And I was questioning it in the Boston series. I don't think you can question it now. I really don't. I think he's had a great year. Mike in Los Angeles. What's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Just like three quick points. As far as like, I'm not going to get baseball yet, but I just wanted to ask your opinion since we saw it last year. I don't think I've ever seen anything as bad as the Colorado Rockies this year. Like,
no. That is the worst baseball team. It is unbelievable
like
how bad they are.
Are they doing it on purpose? Is the fix is in? Like, they're playing themselves. So do they want to be the first team in London?
No, I mean... I'm not sure. One, they're not investing any money. Clearly,
yeah.
And the money they have invested, you know, Chris Bryant's been hurt and awful when he's played.
And so Charlie Blackman retired, I believe.
Charlie Blackman retired, but he was at the end of his. It's not like he would be making that much of an impact anymore. They don't have any pitching. They've done a terrible job with their farm system. They don't spend any money. And right now, to be fair, they also play in a very difficult division with a Giants team that's much improved, a very talented Padres team, and obviously the Los Angeles Dodgers. So they're playing, and the Arizona Diamondbacks had the best offense in baseball last year. So they're they're in an impossible division. They're awful. And they're on pace. It's amazing. We went over it yesterday. They're on pace to win less games than half the teams in baseball have already won. Half the teams in baseball already have more wins than the Colorado Rockies are projected to win all year. That's crazy.
Wow, that's sad. I thought that we'll talk about, you know, hold my beer, I guess the White Sox would say. No, we got it, though. I guess the Rockies would say. As far as the basketball, the playoffs, could it just be the matter of, you know, the Pacers are a little bit deeper all around as a team better? And then also with the coaching, like, you know, Carlisle's been like a lifer. Like, Thibodeau has had some great teams that haven't really gone all the way. Like, but the Bulls, Timberwolves, maybe not so much. But Carlisle with the Mavericks went through essentially, what, multiple Hall of Famers to get that ring with Dallas in 2011? Like, each round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from what I remember. So maybe like a coaching thing now, this whole, you know, what is Lou Guy was saying? Like, oh, you know, no biggie, 3-1.
Yeah, who cares?
What is it going to be? Like, you know, 6-8? Like, what are we talking about? Like, you got to be some type of sense of urgency.
No, don't pay attention to Lou Guy's videos. And let me just be honest. Like, we don't. You know what it is. You know what those are. I promise you, he's not going to sleep tonight thinking no biggie. But, yeah, I mean, look, is there a chance that the Pacers are just better than the Knicks? Absolutely. That's what we're seeing. I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing us, as Knicks fans, underestimating who the Pacers are. They beat the Cavaliers in 5. Now, I know they had some injuries early on in the series. They came back and played in Game 5 and played big-time minutes. You know, their 3 key injuries. So, but they finished this team off in 5, and that was the best team in the Eastern Conference all year long. This is a team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And yeah, I mean, listen, he had Dirk. It's not like he had nobody. He had Jason Kidd. He had, who's like a secondary coach on the court. He had, you know, Dirk, who's one of the great players in NBA history. Like, it's not like he had nobody, but yeah, he beat, you know, they beat a Miami team that was obviously loaded. And Rick Carlisle's a great head coach, no doubt about it, absolutely. And he's done a better job in this series than Tibbs has. What I don't like is the idea that, you know, Tibbs is making obvious mistakes and we can all see it. I'm sorry. Like, it's just, like, are we really saying, and again, Wright and some of these guys, Shamit, they played and, yeah, they had an impact on the game in a positive way. We were just talking about it. We looked at it. Like, it was in the third quarter when Halliburton wasn't on the floor. You can't just tell me, oh, he needs to play this one instead of that one. Like, they need to go to the bench, otherwise they you know, this game would have been different. I can't. Well, throw a big body on Halliburton, that would have ended. That would have made it, you know, much harder on him. Life would have been easier for the Knicks. Like, Halliburton was getting his points. Halliburton was shooting from so far back, it didn't matter. You could have had a 10-foot-tall guy in his face. It didn't matter who you put on him. He was scoring last night. He was a great player who had a great performance. It happens. It happens all the time. Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up? How's everything?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good, good. I just wanted to get, what would you do if you were like the GM of the Knicks? If you were Leon Rose, would you go for another coach like Michael Malone?
No.
Or would you just try to get new players to make them a better team? What's your outlook on what the Knicks
need? Thank you for the call, Jesse. I think Tibbs has done enough to earn his job back. I mean, this guy's turned around a franchise. I understand you want to have a coach that can get you to the next level, and his MO at the moment is he can't be that guy. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think he can't be that guy. He hasn't been so far, and this is a frustrating series, and if they lose, and assuming they lose the series, depending on when, if it's in five, it's really embarrassing to lose all three games at Madison Square Garden. And sure, there's been, you know, some issues with his coaching that I haven't loved, but this is a guy who took the Knicks from a disaster, a coach who couldn't do what Phil Jackson couldn't, who has done what Phil Jackson couldn't do, what Larry Brown couldn't do, what countless head coaches couldn't do. He has turned this team into a respectable team that's going to be a top 2-3-4 team in the Eastern Conference year in and year out. I mean, did they get lucky with what Brunson's become? Of course, but still, back-to-back 50-win seasons and the first time in the Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. And as Mike told me in my headset there, I mean, you could argue he helped develop Brunson into this player. He wasn't this in Dallas. So, I mean, he has been the guy in charge of a makeover and a return to prominence that we've been waiting for over two decades. I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all. He can never get fired. He's golden in this town. He's Glenn Sather. He's Brian Cashman. But at the same time, it's worth something. And he did just beat the defending NBA champions to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, he's earned at least another crack at it, in my estimation. He's won enough to deserve to be back next year with a team that they'll have more time to kind of fill out. This bench isn't very good. It's laughable to me that we're complaining about how much the bench plays. Like, I thought they found a little something in game number three, and I thought there could have been some dynamics there that could, but ultimately, I can't yell about Shamet and Dellen Wright is not in the game enough. Like, the players on the floor haven't played well enough, plain and simple. And Tibbs, in my mind, has done enough to deserve another crack at a roster, as we talk about, that made a trade late for Karl-Anthony Towns and traded away some of their depth along with it and didn't have a real good chance or time to build the roster. Next year, hopefully they build a better bench. Now, I hear the people saying in their cars right now, but he doesn't play the bench. Maybe he would. Or would be more inclined to if they were better players. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I'm not saying he's here forever, and I'm not saying turning around the franchise is enough, because you do ultimately, it's about winning championships. It's about winning championships. And eventually he's got to win. He can't just be satisfied being a 3-4 seed, a 2-3-4 seed every year. It's not good enough. But a couple of years in and doing what he just did this postseason, it's enough for me. Tibbs deserves his job back, and I'd be shocked if Leon Rose doesn't give it to him.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots
and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Now, you know, me and Fleeks were just talking about it. The one thing about Tibbs, too, is like, we don't mention the fact that he turned, like, every player on the team that he's had with the Knicks has either developed into or had the best years of their career and developed into the best player. Jalen Brunson was not like this. Now, I'm sure there are many who argue, well, he just wasn't given the opportunity. I don't know. I know that he became this good as a Knick. I know Mitchell Robinson has developed. I know even Julius Randle. Who was Julius Randle? Julius Randle was a guy brought here to be used as a trade chip and an expiring contract and became the star of the team and a completely different player under Tibbs. Completely different player. Like, other than Bridges, every player on the team has developed into their best version or had the best year of their career, like DiVincenzo. Like, he has done an incredible job getting the most out of the guys that have been here. I mean, right, yeah, Hartenstein. Who was Hartenstein? Now, I know he's continued to play well, and he's doing well in OKC, but who was he before he came here? Who, like, these guys, like, a lot, like, they, it just, it's true. Quickly. OG Anunoby. Let's be fair, OG Anunoby, as much as he struggled at times, offensively, he's turned into a completely different player than he was in Toronto.
There was talk like, oh, RJ Barrett might blossom away from Tibbs.
Yep.
That did not happen.
That did not happen. Deuce McBride was a defensive, you know, a defensive prospect. He's turned into a very useful piece. Like, let's just be fair what Tibbs has done here. Tibbs has been an integral part, or an integral. I know people say I use that wrong. Integral. A huge part. He has been a key part of building this franchise. Leon Rose has done an incredible job. Don't get me wrong. Leon Rose has done an amazing job. Right now, he's the best executive in New York. And that says a lot coming from me. Although Brian Cashman with this current Yankee team has given him a run for his money. The pivot. The plan B. One of these days when the Knicks aren't playing, we'll have more time to really have fun with the plan B. It's been a muted plan B because every night's been either reacting to games or previewing games. It's the one benefit of the Knicks season finally coming to an end. I'm going to get to shill all over Brian Cashman like I've never shilled before. But like Leon Rose has done an incredible job, but Tibbs has been right there as building this team and getting the most out of all these players. So I understand we're concerned about some of the issues here, and I concern there has been an MO of the minutes and how far you can go with him, and problems in Chicago and running guys into the ground, and problems in Minnesota. I get it. But what he has done here has been a masterclass, and they just beat the defending champs. I'm not, at the moment, I'm not even looking to praise him or anything. I'm frustrated by this series and frustrated by his performance and frustrated by the entire Knicks performance. But, like, if we're really going to ask ourselves, if they lose this series, do they fire Tibbs? Like, you have to ask yourself, who are they going to bring in and what is he going to get out of these players? Because Tibbs has gotten a ton out of them. This team wasn't good enough to beat the Boston Celtics. You thought it. I thought it. The collective basketball world thought it. They weren't talented enough, weren't good enough to beat the Boston Celtics, and they did. That's one of the great wins in franchise history. I know it's not an NBA championship. I know it's not hanging a banner, but that is an enormous win. And this is 25 years in the making. No one else could do what he's done. I'm not saying he deserves a life contract, but man, off of that win, off of this season, off of what he's been able to do, I have a tough time in the first year of this new adoration of this team. The first year with Karl Anthony Towns, the first year with Mikal Bridges, the first year trying to gel with this new core that they're probably going to move forward with for a long time. I have a tough time saying Tibbs isn't the guy off of 1 year and arguably one of the greatest outside of the championships. Going back to, you know, 69, 70, and 73, like outside of those two championships, I don't know if they've had a more impressive series victory. I don't know. Or a more impactful one. So, like, you're talking about a guy who's transformed the organization and just gave him one of the best playoff wins in franchise history. And the first Eastern Conference Finals appearance in 25 years. And we want to move on from him because we all look at the game and go, oh, he should be doing this, he should be doing that, what the hell is he doing? Like, I don't know. That's a real tough sell for me. It's a real. If they would have lost to Detroit, we had a conversation. If they would have lost to Boston, it's a discussion. I don't know how you could watch what he's done in transforming all the players, the team, into this level of respectability of 50 win seasons guaranteed and beating the defending champs in six and getting back to an Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know how that conversation leads to him not being back next year. And that's a very difficult sell. Let's get to Jeffrey in Charlotte. What's up, Jeffrey? Jeffrey, you there? Jeffrey! Nope. Jamie in Brooklyn. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you, buddy?
So, I'm going to say the Knicks have had a great season. It's been a regular season where a little bit murky, and we got some favorable seating with the Pistons, which they went to seven games. Then they faced the Celtics, which they should have lost to, but they didn't because, one, KP was injured.
Oh, my God.
JT was injured, and eventually got down with their Achilles injury. We were very lucky to even pass them. I'm not giving that to
I'm not giving that to them.
That is just asinine. They were in to beat them, and they were in position. They had points to beat them. The problem is, we had roles that made some good moves, but getting Bridges was not a great move. Letting go of Hartenstein while keeping Robinson is not a great move.
They had no choice.
You didn't have a choice. You didn't need to trade for Bridges.
That's a choice, that's a choice.
With Hartenstein,
with the way the bargain agreement works and the aprons, they could not offer him more money.
But here's the other issue. If you're going to get in Bridges and you have Ananobi, you basically have a Dunson, the same type of player. I love Ananobi.
Yeah, you have two good perimeter defenders.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? That's what you needed to beat the Boston Celtics, and they did.
True, but you got a redundancy in that position.
you got Bridges. You wanted Bridges better to just be a 3-and-D and stay in the corner and just shoot threes. Then you get to, now I get, here's the issue you get with the head coach. He's a great defensive head coach. Now you have the, last year you didn't have talent. You're a scrappy, great team. That's his team. Mm-hmm. Now this is a different team. Now you have to have offense. You have Brunson.
They were the sixth best offensive team in the league,
yes,
and they were missing their best scorer for a month and a half.
But here, let me finish. You're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is Brunson. This has been the offense all year. You got to be able to get Brunson to be able to get other people involved throughout the game. He has to be able to let the ball go.
Yeah, I get it, Jamie. I'm up against the break. I get it. Again, offensive adjustments has been a question mark for Tibbs. You're not wrong, right? I get it. I've been killing him for, you know, side out of bounds plays and off timeouts and when to call timeouts. Like, there's been issues with Tibbs. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, like, one, you know, your Hartenstein comment doesn't make sense. They could not offer him more money than another team could. They weren't allowed to. So he was leaving unless he felt like taking a discount, which why would he? He was coming off his career year because Tibbs turned him into a career year player. Like, that's what we were just talking about. Who was Hartenstein before he became a New York Knick? And, yeah, no, I understand. Last year's team was like the grittier, tough, less talented, defensive-minded team. Yes, and that leans more towards his style than a more offensive-talented team with offensive adjustments. Totally agree. You got to do all this stuff fine. Again, it doesn't change the fact what he's turned the team into and the idea they got past the Boston Celtics, and you're making excuses. All his positives we make excuses for. Well, I mean, listen, he's got a lot of talent. Listen, oh, you know, Tatum got hurt in game at the end of game four. When they were going to be up 3-1 anyway. Like, so we dismiss the successes and we harp on the failures. It's really easy to make a case against anybody. To be totally honest with you. You make a case against anybody if you dismiss their successes and harp on their failures. That's what so many people do with Brian Cashman. I don't know if I've mentioned that before. Or Aaron Boone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.